Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, friends and saints of the Most High. This is Clarissa DiPilato coming to you again from Windsor, Connecticut, wishing to share with you today on the purpose in our transformation, the purpose in why God is transforming us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray that you would rest upon this word, that God, what is imparted would be from you, not from myself, Lord. You see my own weariness. You see my own timidity, Lord God. You see how I'm halting today on this word, Lord God, and I need your grace to minister it, Lord. I pray you give your people ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, as usual, within the past few days, I got from the Lord what he wants me to share on. And then it just seemed like it went a bit quiet. I couldn't really wrap my mind or my heart around fully around what the Lord was going to say. So I have to depend on a prophetic anointing on this one and pray that God delivers, because it's just going to be a little bit difficult. And there's an interesting thing about the word that I learned from a pastor that I had in Tucson, Arizona. Probably any Bible school student has learned this. I'm sure this is probably very common to a Bible school education. But it's that in the word, we have the law and the testimony. And the law is the edict or the statute or the thing that is commanded of God's people to do. And then the testimony will be the scriptures that will show how that command was actually carried out. So you have the law and you have the testimony. And there's a scripture that says something about that his words agree to the law and testimony. I didn't think to look that up, so I can't give a reference. But just off the top of my mind, I know there's a scripture like that. And for example, here's a couple of examples that are pretty common. One is on the subject of water baptism, the law. Jesus gave the command in Matthew 28, I think it's verse 19. And it says that, go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That was the law. They were not having a baptismal service at that point in time. These were just Jesus' last words before he ascended up into heaven. But in Acts, we find where the wishes of our Lord Jesus were actually carried out by the Apostle Peter. They asked the crowd there, asked him on the day of Pentecost, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I believe there was a baptismal service held that day, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all through the book of Acts, you don't find one time where they were, quote unquote, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It was always in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or just the name of Jesus. But you go through every incident and you find they're always baptized in Jesus' name. And it's just the bearing witness to what I'm saying, that there's the law and then there's the testimony. So we have to assume that with all the time the apostles spent with the Lord, and they were called apostles when Jesus was with them. They were apostolic. They were being given the foundations to build the church on. And so we've got to trust that they knew what they were doing, that they had enough involvement with our Lord, that they knew what they were doing. They weren't crossing his will. And so I found another one today that really blesses me, and it has to do with the subject of our being transformed and transformation. And that word in the Bible, transformed, is also the same word that is used for transfigured. But I want to start here. I want to start with the law and what is said by God, that what his will is, the law he lays out, and then how we see it fulfilled. And he is before all things. This is 1 Corinthians, Colossians 1, 17 through 19. One of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. If you've ever heard anybody preach this, this is one that really preaches with power. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We're talking of our Lord. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father in him all fullness should dwell. In him should all fullness dwell. And then if we go to one of the accounts of the Mount, of what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we're going to go to the one in Matthew and just read that. You'll see. You'll catch it. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured by them, before them. Now, this is the same word that is used in Romans, where it talks about us being not conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Same word. He was transfigured, transformed, same word. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And can you imagine, usually when you have an angelic visitation, if you have one, the first inclination you have is to hit your face to the floor. And they were seeing the Lord in his splendid glory, glistering raiment, resplendent glory. And then it says, there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And here we see the fullness of fulfillment of Colossians 1, 17 through 19. The Father wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one to have the preeminence. And when it looked like he was not going to have it, when it looked like that preeminence was going to be divided, when it looked like the glory was going to be split between the three, what happened? God came on the scene. He overshadowed them. A voice came out of a cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's get on with this. We're talking about us being transformed. And we're changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We know that from 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding in as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then let's look at Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. To be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the purpose in that transformation, the purpose in being changed from glory to glory, is that we come forth in his image and in his likeness. Jesus was God Almighty. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was the eternal Son from heaven. He was in a body here on the earth. The Hebrew says, a body hast thou prepared me. The flesh was ripped aside or rolled back, or the veil was taken away in that situation of the Mount of Transfiguration. The veil was removed so that they could see him in the fullness of his glory. I want to be careful because I don't want to bring some strange new doctrine, but this same glory that was seen in that Mount of Transfiguration is the glory that God is going to bring his people to. But it's from glory to glory. We're not there. No, we're not taking a trip up to the mountains and saying, aha, my friends, look at me. I'm glorified now. That's not going to happen, obviously. And we won't see the fullness of it until we have passed from death into life and until we come into the presence of the Lord. But what is the purpose of us even yielding if this is going to happen when we get to heaven anyway? It's because God has a people on the earth who desire to give him the preeminence now. And the way we give him the preeminence now is we are yielding to the processes of renewal. And that word renew is, it's a good word. I'm going to go into some more negative aspects of this message, but right now we're concentrating on the positive. The word transform, it's a powerful word. It's a supernatural word. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this is the God bringing to bear the working of the Spirit and the Word in our lives. It's not one or the other. It's both working together to change us, to transform us. As we yield to the Spirit of the Lord, as we avail ourselves of the truths of his words. I love what one brother taught on one time when he was teaching about the armor of God, and I think it's in Ephesians where it tells us to put on the whole armor of God in the sixth chapter. And one of the things are having our loins girt about with truth. Well, when you're having something done, someone else is doing it. Like when you're having your hair done, you're at the beauty parlor and the beautician is working on your hair. Or if you're having your teeth cleaned, you're in the dentist chair. The dentist is, or the dental hygienist is cleaning your teeth. Well, when we're having our loins girt about with truth, it means someone else is girding our loins. And of course, that's our spiritual loins. And it's the man or the woman of God who's anointed of God. So the Spirit and the Word coming to bear in our lives in many different ways that God brings it about, but it's causing transformation. It's causing us to be changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that same word that was used to explain what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it's so called, you will not find the word transfiguration in the Bible, but that same, it's the same word. And words are powerful in the Bible. They mean something. And they really have power, and they really connect the dots between the scriptures, and they help us to rightly divide the word of truth and understand things. And so as Jesus was transfigured before them, and they saw the fullness of his glory. So little by little, we used to sing that song, little by little and day by day, little by little in every way, Jesus is changing me. Since I looked into his face, I've been changing by his grace. My Jesus is changing me. And if God is going to have the preeminence in all things, he is going to have a people who model him, who look like him. Because if there's a different image on his people than there is on him, there are going to be divided souls. Who are we to look at? Are we to look at you, or are we to look at Jesus? Does Jesus have the preeminence, or does this preacher have the preeminence? Does his glorious church, who models him, is that what is going to be glorified and seen in the earth as a testimony unto his goodness and his grace? Or is it some other being or some other company trying to accomplish the same thing? Now, see, this is what's wrong with the idea of a one world order. A lot of good ideas there, but the Bible is very clear that there's going to be only one kingdom that's going to fill the whole earth. And it's the kingdom that's not cut out with hands. It's the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is like, just like there's an antichrist, there's an anti-kingdom. The anti-kingdom is what we would call the New World Order. But when Jesus said everything they want to accomplish will be accomplished in glory and in purpose and the right way, not the wrong way. There won't be any flaws in it. When God sets up his kingdom and ruling and reigning through his people, through his overcomers, there won't be any flaws. There won't be any wars. There won't be any pain, any sorrow, any suffering in his kingdom. Just look at Isaiah 11 and read about what his kingdom is going to look like. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know, is it time for me to go on to the more negative aspect of this word? I really want to drive this home that God said that he alone, Jesus Christ our Lord, it pleases him, that it pleases the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. Couldn't build a tabernacle for Elias and Moses, because that would have meant the fullness was being split. It was being divided. It had to be all in Jesus, and God was emphatic about it. Notice that there almost sounds like there's a tone of rebuke there. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Don't listen to these other ones. Not that they didn't have something good to say, but God wanted to make sure that they had their ear peeled in the right direction. And this kind of reminds me of Paul on the road to Damascus when a blinding light from heaven shone and Jesus was revealed to him. And I honestly believe, as I've thought about this and compared the scriptures of Paul's conversion and what happened on the Damascus road to this time on the Mount of Transfiguration, and how there was a voice, there was a cloud, there was a bright light, all these things. It kind of sounds like we're seeing the same Lord revealing himself to Paul as that was revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I believe that it had to happen that way because of who Paul was and his history. He had to have that kind of a conversion experience in order to be received. In order for him to be received, he had to have that kind of conversion experience. And we are being converted. We are converted at our original point of salvation or our born-again experience. There is a conversion that takes place. But there's an ongoing transformation. We're being transformed. We're being changed from glory to glory. So you know, we've got that platform, and then we're building on it. And the best salvation experience is where you are in the presence of the Lord, and you're starting the beginning of your walk on a platform of glory. And it's the responsibility of ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of evangelists, to understand the importance of atmosphere, understand the importance of creating an atmosphere of the presence of the Lord. And it's something you have to pray up, pray down, pray out. It comes through prayer. It comes through time in his presence. It comes through, if you've got, wherever you're meeting to walk up and down between the aisles, lay hands on the seats and pray over every chair and pray for God's blessing and pray for God's glory and pray for his presence. Pray that the word you preach, that there will be a bearing witness to that word, so that when somebody is coming into their new birth experience, that it's actually in the atmosphere. It's not just a head thing. It's not just a mind thing. But this is something that's happening in the realm of their spirit, that they are getting already acclimated to their new atmosphere. Because when you come to Jesus, you have a new atmosphere surrounding you. You have a new atmosphere. You're not under the constant pull of the earth. You're up in a higher plane, and you should feel it. You should know there's a difference. And that is the first level of glory, just to get that atmosphere, get that holy atmosphere, get that presence around you of God, the personal glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. He's never far from his glory. He doesn't share it with anyone. He doesn't take off and leave it. People say, oh, the glory, oh, the glory. Oh, we had the glory here. Oh, we had the glory there. And I'm not sure that they even understand that this is not something God takes off and leaves. If you have his glory, if you've got his glory and his presence in your atmosphere, you have him. He is with you. Omniscient, omnipresent God, all-powerful, almighty God, he is with you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's what helps us through all of our lives. That's what helps us through all the trials and all the sorrows. And that's what helps us to keep ourselves centered in him, and knowing that we want the right, that we want the right thing. We want the right things from God. We want the right revelations. We want the right word. We want our life on a solid rock, on a foundation. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now I'm going to go into something a little bit more negative. And Jesus, I pray that you cover this part of the word with your spirit, and that I will be understood. Lord, are you saying it's not time for this? Is it not time, Lord? Just let me wait on the Lord for a minute. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're in the last days. Lord, do I have permission to go ahead? Okay, well, if I'm going to pray about this after I deliver it, and if I don't feel good in my spirit about delivering it, I am going to trim this video off, or this audio right here. The word transformed is used in a positive way when it talks about us being transformed by the renewing of our mind, us being changed from glory to glory. It's a glorious thing. And let's even go to the old-fashioned way of preaching, where people were expected to have a different life the minute they got up from an altar. It was just something that happened. It was expected that when you got saved, you immediately threw away your cigarettes, you quit going to the bars, you quit telling dirty jokes, you pretty much, somebody preached the sinless to you, and you took a hold of it, and you believed it, and you felt so deeply sorry for your sins that you were changed just by the virtue of how sorry you felt for your sins, and you never wanted to go down that road again. That's what's called repentance. And we don't see a whole lot of true repentance experiences. There's a lot of grace and a lot of leeway given for people to have time to get things in order, get their houses right, get their lives right. But it wasn't always like that. There was a day in the history of the church where people just automatically had a change of heart, had a change of mind. And the transformation, it was like you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. There was no question. Nobody had to guess if you were saved or if you were not saved. There was just something so different about you. And even your countenance had the glory of the Lord on it, had a shine about it. You had a new look to you when you got saved back in some of the old days. Today, it's not so much that way in a lot of the Christian circles or so-called Christian circles. There's another word for transformed. And maybe I'm not going to do this right now. Maybe I'm going to do this in a part two. I think I'm going to do this in a part two, because this is a serious admonition of the scriptures about how to discern an angel of light, how to discern foreign spirits, imposter spirits. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and do another taping. So let's just wrap this up, and we don't have to have a half an hour or 45 minutes every time I speak. That's not necessary. We don't need to just fill space. The Lord knows there's a whole lot of preachers to listen to that are far more gifted than I am. And I'm thankful for those who do take the time. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I know that you told me to share about us being transformed, Lord, how we're changed and how we are going to look like you when you're finished. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. One more thing I want to just share. I want to just read 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. If this is going to happen, that everybody's going to be changed, and it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, that we will all be changed, what is the purpose in us availing ourselves of this process of being changed from glory to glory? Why even bother to submit to everything we go to in the dealings of the Lord? Renovation is sometimes painful. There's a word, the word renewal means to be changed in a good way, but it also means to renew. It means renovation. And just think about a renovation on a home. How many of you watch some of the Home and Garden TV network shows, and you see before they put all the new stuff in, they have to tear out the old stuff and tear stuff down and pull out the nails and pound on the walls and take those great big huge sledgehammers and rip at the walls. And renovation can be a painful process. So why do we bother to avail ourselves? Well, the scripture says right here, we're all going to be changed. We shall all be changed. This kind of tells me that some of the doctrine about how there are super spiritual saints in heaven who are better than others, that might not ever happen, because everybody's going to be changed. We're all going to be changed. We're all going to put on incorruptibility. We're going to put those things, we'll be raised incorruptible. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And then we know that scripture that says, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When you get to heaven, and you see Jesus for the first time, you're going to be like him. Well, you can't get any better than that. You can't get any more spiritual. You can't get any more advanced than being like him. We're all going to be like him. So why do we have to bother to even try? Go back to our first text. Because God has a people on this earth who are going to desire for the Lord Jesus Christ to have the preeminence. And we have determined in our hearts that we want to give it to him now. We want to give Jesus the glory now. We want him to have the glory now. We want him to be seen on this earth. You know, when I pray my prayer list, which I wish I could say was daily, there are days I miss just in the busyness of taking care of my home. But I always pray John 17, and the first few verses of John talks about how now Jesus is glorified in heaven. And I'm praying that he be glorified in earth as he is in heaven, in my earth, in the whole earth, that people see Jesus and he be glorified as he is in heaven. Where is he going to be glorified if it's not through his people? How is he going to be glorified? How is he going to be seen if he is not seen through his people? Even as he was a reflection of his Father, so we are a reflection of him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Lord Jesus, I just pray, God, that you would bless this little preachment, and that your people would have a hunger to give you the preeminence, Lord. That, Father, even as you showed yourself, Lord God, very sternly and very strongly at that Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter wanted to give glory to others, you showed very strongly where you wanted the focus, where you wanted the attention. You wanted it on Jesus. And how will the world know you except for that we look like you, except for that we willingly submit and avail ourselves. Lord, this is about what's happening here on earth, in your kingdom here on earth. We know that when we get to heaven, we shall be like him. The minute we see him, the minute we see the Lord Jesus, we are going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But Lord, your plan on earth, Lord, is that you have a people who willingly submit to you, submit to your processes, God, to make us more like you, to make us more like Jesus. And what fault can be found in him? There's no fault in Jesus. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And you said not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, allowing the Spirit and the Word to bring to bear everything that needs to happen in our lives to change us, to transform us from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as usual, just want to pray for anybody who has heard this and feels a tug on their heart that maybe you've read about a historical Jesus and you think he's a wonderful man and you think it would be cool to be like Jesus. You think that this might be a good idea. But the first part before you can even start on this adventure of becoming more like him is that you have to allow him to come into your life, because he's the one that begins the work in the interior of your life. He's the one who baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray right now. And I'll pray, and you follow me in prayer. And then find your time, your secret place, we call it, with the Lord, where you can pray this prayer again and let it just spend a little time. Let it work in your heart. Start with reading the book of Mark and the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. A pastor always used to say that to his flock of the newcomers, so I know that he had a lot of wisdom, so I'm just going to follow in his lead and say, read Mark and the books of Peter. They're very foundational books, and they'll help you get a good start in your Christian experience. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to me this day. I thank you that I'm hearing a word that makes you large, makes you the greatest one, and I want to be one who gives you the preeminence, Lord. I don't even know you. This is the first time I'm meeting you, but I ask you right now to come into my heart, come into my life. I ask you for the grace to repent of my sins. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I pray that, Lord, your strong conviction would come on my heart, that I would desire to meet you in a special way that comes through that conviction that will lead me to true repentance, to turn away from all sin and uncleanness. And I thank you that, Lord, by the confession of my mouth and the belief in my heart that you are my Savior and you are my God, and this is the first day of my new life as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Praises to his name. Amen. Hallelujah.